Of Zion Tammuz, Friday the 25th of July, Rabbi Leibe Scheller, on a Parsha theme.
Yo, Rabbi Isai, I'm hearing talk about a ceasefire, but this is Eish Kodesh, holy fire.
Yeah.
The sefer we have in front of us is a Shtikl Torah on the Parsha, which I want to learn together. To learn together Shtikl Torah on the Parsha, but by means of introduction, it's important to realize that this is not Stam Shtikl Torah. For various reasons, it's not Stam Shtikl Torah. First of all, the environment in which it was said, in which it was thought up, and who it was said by, whom it was said to, and the message that it represents. Rabbi Yisai, we are now in the Bein HaMetzorim. Right, we're in the 3 weeks. And the speaker before me mentioned the 3 weeks, you don't have the jello that you didn't have for 60 years. But you can go a lifetime without jello. You know, you can go a lifetime without jello, jelly, or whatever. You can go a lifetime without herring and without pickles. And you can go a lifetime without your car and without the couch in your living room. It's just proven. You can live without it. Without your mobile. You can live without 90% of your wardrobe. And lead a happy life. This is a Shtikl Torah Rabbeisai that was said by a Yid, a Kedosh Elyon, in the Varshava Ghetto. In the Varshava Ghetto, in a time when people knew what Bein HaMetzorim really meant. And it's a time over which we mourn till today. Rabbeisai, our generation doesn't mourn only the Churban HaBayis. We mourn the Churbanos that followed that. And most recently, this Churban, the ramifications of which we don't fully appreciate. We don't fully appreciate, even on a Ruchnistiga level. Many people think that we've replenished ourselves. We have Mekoymas of Torah and Yeshivas and so on and so forth. It's a big mistake. It's not the case. In comparison to what was, it's all very much artificial. If you were able to go into any Beis Medrash in Varsha, before the war, You would enter a different world. The Echus. Qualitatively, it was a different world. Every Yochidir was a different world. It was different. And that's a loss. And one of the exceptionary personalities that were lost was the Piasetzner Rebbe, who was most famous for his Sefer Chodesh HaTalmidim and Achshoras HaAvreichim. He was a Rebbe in pre-war Poland, up until the war. He died in the camps. And he was also a miyuchad in being mechanich talmidim. Which was not normally the remit or the field of a chassidish rebbe. But he was a tremendous mechanich, a tremendous goin eilui, but also he was a mechanich in avodas Hashem. And his svarim survived miraculously. He had his svarim, he left them. One he printed in his lifetime. The other, this sefer, for example, was found in the Varsha Ghetto. He put it in some sort of, with a letter that it should be sent to Eretz Yisrael to be printed. So you can imagine the topics that were on the minds of these people in Bein HaMetzorim. So he tells us on this week's parsha. If I can get a chumash, it would have, or even a sit in the back. This is just me. When I say he was a mechanech, he was very into being mechanech talmidim, that they should live b'derech HaBaal Shem Tov. So Torah Chassidus, which was obscure, which was a few vertlach over here and over there, he wanted to make it a Mishnah Sedura. That it should be something that people can implement, people can live by, people can follow in a way that's mesuder, like a derech in avodas Hashem, that should be a formula that people can follow, and this is what he tried to do, and this is what he succeeded with his Talmidim. Most of which, of course, never survived the war. So Yishtelzach on this week's parsha, where the Pasuk says as follows. The Pasuk says, Vayichtoiv Moshe, the second Pasuk in the parsha, Es Moitzo Ehem Limas Ehem. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote their outgoings to their journeys. Their outgoings, which was the result of their journeys. Al Pi Hashem, he wrote this, Al Pi Hashem, on the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Torah is going to enumerate what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. The next words in the pasuk say, "Ve'elam mas'ehem l'moitzeim," and these were the journeys l'moitzeim to their outgoings. So he brings a kasha from the Beis Aaron of Karlin that asks, why in the beginning does it say moitzeim l'mas'ehem, their outgoings to their journeys, and in the same pasuk it then says their journey to their outgoings. My height. But Moshe wrote it. And then the pasuk repeats what Moshe wrote. This is what actually happened, but it says it in the reverse order. So obviously this is not arbitrary. It's conspicuous. There's a reason for it, and it means something. And generally, what is Moitzeihem? What's Mas'ehem? Outgoings, journey seems to be just synonymous, the same thing, and so on. So this is the question that he brings to the Beis Aaron. And from there he goes on to quoting a Gemara, a famous Gemara we all know, in Mesechet Sanhedrin of Tzadik Ches, where the Gemara discusses the days of Yemos HaMashiach and the terrible calamities and tragedies that Klal Yisrael will face in the Tkufa preceding Yemos HaMashiach. And just to alleviate the tension, Gedolei Yisrael said that we were already Yoitze, Behidur B'chumra, so it's not Ma'akiv, it's not a Meni, it's not an Ikuv, it's not as if Mashiach could only come if these things will be Mekuyim, because they have been Mekuyim. But be that as it may, the Gemara says that Ula, one of the great Amoraim, said the following. He said, Yesei v'loyach mine. So terrible, so tragic, so horrible are the events that are going to precede Yemos HaMashiach. Yesei, I pray, I'm spiled that he should come. But v'loyach mine, I don't want to be alive at the time of his coming. Which is a plea atzuma. Which is a plea atzuma. Klal Yisrael is mispala, Klal Yisrael, David is a chayba, tiv mechake for Yemos HaMashiach, whatever the cost, whatever the price. And here in Amorita says, Yesev Aleach Mine. So the truth is, I made a copy of the main page. These questions that I've just told you begin on the page that precedes this. And let's go on to where we're holding. Yeah. Oid Efshar. So let's read it together. Let's read the shtickle together. Oid Efshar ki novin not gam lematzaveinu akoton inyan chevlei Moshiach. It's possible, based on the pasuk of this week's parsha, based on that discrepancy, based on that inconsistency, moitzeihem, mas'ehem, mas'ehem, moitzeihem, with this pasuk, he says, we can understand for our matzav of Yemos HaMashiach. Yeah, there's another shtickle where he wrote Hagol later on the bottom, and he was mechazek the oilam, and he says, this is what we have to do, and so on, and he writes on the bottom, I wrote this, and I said this in Tovshin Aleph. Now what is Tovshin Gimel? And he was telling Klal Yisrael that they have to mechazik themselves, they have to keep on learning Torah and Yeshivas and Chedorim and so on. He says, now in Tovshin Gimel I can testify that the churban that is surrounding us from all sides is so devastating, so terrible, that the only nechama possible, the only way this can ever be rectified is only with the Geula, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words that I wrote on top, on this page, he says, are not applicable. It's not shaykh, he says. It's not shaykh for the remnants, for the survivors to be able to do to be able to do what I suggest over here. There's drushes that he said, Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur. It's a gevaldike sefer. It's a meidike sefer. And you see the Yisurim as they go along. He lost his wife. He lost his son. He lost his daughter-in-law. He watched everything collapse around him. And he watched the churban. By the way, Derech Agav, he was one of the Gedolei Yisrael that forewarned in advance when the sounds of the war were coming. The Piasetzner Rebbe said it's coming and it's real, and people should do what they can. And he was actually, he at the end of his years, he was living in Varsha. He used to go to Piasetzner only for the Yom Neroim, from Shabbos Nachmu until after Shabbos Bereishis. When the war broke out in Varsha, he left Piasetzner and went to Varsha. And he was there and he was Mechazakid in the Varsha Ghetto until the last moments. So when he says, Matzaveinu Akot Ni'in Yechavli Mashiach, so he's going to explain what this means, and I, by means of introduction, I just want to say that the Shprach is a little difficult, but this Rabbi said, this is Mamish Teres HaBal Shem Tev. This is Teres HaBal Shem Tev in a way that's musbar and explained and clear. It's very, very well formulated. It's just a question of getting used to the language, getting used to the terminology. So if it looks difficult, it isn't. So he says, Poshetu Lamarek Es Avoynes Koydim Es Galus Hazoy Shul Bias HaMashiach. The simple interpretation is that this is a means of cleansing Klal Yisrael, so they should be worthy of Yemos HaMashiach. However, he says that simple pshat doesn't really explain it all, because we know and we see apparently from Chazal that the Doir of Yemos HaMashiach is going to suffer not only for themselves but for previous generations. So it's not only avoinus. So what's the pshat? He says, Aval achar achet shel odem rishon. Omar Hashem, be'itzev til di bonim. One of the consequences we know of Chet Adas was be'itzev til di bonim. From now on, childbirth is going to be difficult. So he says, lo yirak min nekomohi. This isn't merely a punishment. It could have been the case that it would have been only a punishment. But it's more than just a punishment. It's a consequence. It's a midah keneged midah. It's the result of the effect of Chet Tzadas. It follows from Chet Tzadas that giving birth can no longer be a simple matter. Why is this the case? Ach noida, it is known the following. Ha'ilam is shabara Hashem, madreges umaylus behem gdoilim uktanim, shabram Hashem ayidei shtalshulus v'toilodois shel ilo v'ol. There are many, many levels of existence that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody here understands that Neshamas in Gan Eden exist on a far higher plane than they do down here in Olam Haza Agashmi. In Gan Eden, there are Hecholis beyond Hecholis. There are Malachim, there are Seraphim. And generally, we're told there are four Olamis. Each one is of an entirely different level. Like there's a quantum gap. Within each Olam, there's so many levels. But each Olam is a totally different level of existence than the other Olam. Fine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created those. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the reality that we experience. Right? We're on one level, but our level beyond level beyond level. What was common to all of these levels before Chet Eitz Hadas is the following. Koidem ha-chet ha-yukulam b'teilim la-Hashem. Before Chet Eitz Hadas, what was common to everything, even the lowest level, was that it was evident, it was clear, the experience, the consciousness of every Bria was that I am merely an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire that I should exist. There wasn't that sense of separation. I am an entity unto myself. There was bitul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the next words are very important. Bitul doesn't mean that you didn't exist as an entity with its own parameters, with your own personality, with your own individualism. You existed entirely as you would now. But you was permeated with an awareness that everything comes from Hashem. It's not separate from Hashem. The Gama Atzomus. Atzomus, in modern Hebrew, you would read it as Atzmos. Shehoyso l'kol echad l'atzmo, lehoyso b'yeshus l'atzmo. The fact that I am I, and I function different to you, and my mind thinks differently, and my experiences are differently, my feelings are different, didn't make me protective, didn't make me feel a sense of separateness. A sense of ego, I am I, that has to be protected. This I was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, and therefore he gave you what he gave you. We all felt the connection to the source which unified everything with everybody else, and mostly everything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there was that smos, but there wasn't yeshus. There wasn't that self-centeredness. An example, he says, okay, these three lines we'll read quickly, but it's just to point he's making, Ke'enu shegam bo'ilam ha'atzilus yeshnom sfirois shebekol echad atzmius la'atzmo. In the highest of oilam is the oilam ha'atzilus. We don't even call it the world of Bria, because the creatures there are not creations. They're only extensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a netzah, right? Like the sun gives forth rays of light. The rays of light are not entities unto themselves. If you ask, let's say there are thousands of rays shining into all different directions, going hundreds of miles each. You ask ray number one, who are you? How are you different to ray number two? Even if each ray had a different color and a different character and a different texture, they wouldn't say, I am me and he is he. We're all extensions of the sun. The sun wants to shine into the world, so therefore there are many rays going in different directions. But what's common to all of them is that they're not a separate entity. They are independent in the sense that they have their own individualism, but they're not separated from their source. So let's see this inside. Shekol echad la'atzmai lehoysa... The creations of Atzilus, whatever you want to call them, creations is the wrong word. They each have their own name. If they have their own name, it must be that they have their own individuality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Nivroim of Atzilus, the Netzolim of Atzilus are all one. They're not separate. Rak Sheshem Yisborech Baruch B'derech Haflei. Shebekol echad yisgala atzmus la'atzmo, v'loy biyeshus la'atzmo. Individualism, yes. Separateness, egoism, no. The kain hoya gam ba'olam hazeh, this was the reality of olam hazeh. Adam Arishon, prior to the chet, saw himself merely as a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem, that there should be a bria, not an entity unto itself. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me and he wants you just as much as he wants me, so we're not in competition with each other. I don't have to protect myself from you. I don't consider, I'm not something that needs, you know, guarding. The eye wasn't relevant, wasn't an issue. So this was the case in Olam Hazeh before the Chet. Now, Gamla Osid Yisgala Olam Hazeh L'Pchina Satilus Kenoide Ma'ariza. So this is what's going to be in Yemoisa Mashiach, that everything, when it says, Bayomahu Yi Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, everything is going to be Einoid Movado, it doesn't mean you're going to stop being who you are. Your mind is going to be in the same as it's now, you'll have your personality, and you'll crack similar jokes to the ones you crack today. If you have a wry sense of humor, you may still have a wry sense of humor when Mashiach comes. But you're not going to be offended if the friend doesn't laugh at your jokes. Everything is going to be a means of fulfilling Kavod Shamayim. There's not going to be separateness. There's not going to be my agenda. I don't have an agenda. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's agenda. I am a means of the fulfillment of that higher agenda. So what happened? Chet Eitz Hadas changed all of that. With Chet Eitz Hadas, everybody becomes a separate entity. Everybody feels his self-importance. Everybody thinks of himself as the center of the universe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that we have to do our dues for. We have to tick some boxes so that we shouldn't be, you know, penalized at some later state. But it is I who is the center. That is a distorted perception of reality. That is not the truth. Fine. So what does this have to do with Be'etz of Tehil Dibonim? Why is Be'etz of Tehil Dibonim a consequence of this as opposed to a punishment for the Chet Eitz Hadas? Now, the Velt Zokta Maisa, that the Rav Aaron Kalina had a Talmud who once came to his house in the middle of the night and knocked on the door and asked to come in. He's knocking and knocking and knocking. Rav Aaron Kalina was in the learning. He goes to the door. He says, "Who's there?" He says, "Ich!" They knew each other. They were friends. They knew each other from the Magid. "It's me. You know who I am." He ignores him. He doesn't open the door. Second time or third time, he doesn't open the door. In the morning, he tells me, he left me outside, didn't open the door. He said, "I expected from someone who grew up by the Magid to know that there is no ich." What do you mean, it's you? There's no ich, there is no I. That notion that I am was something that the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidov sought to eradicate. And that's fundamental. This idea is a very yisoidistic thing. It's not a side point. I think one of the distinctions of the Musar movement and the movement of Chassidus is this point. That the Muslim movement tried to refine a person's character, taking one quality at a time. You know, if a person has an issue with kas, with gaiva, with taiva, with sin, or with kino, you can deal with all of those issues, and it's a tremendous effort to do so. Right? It's another thing. I was once in a bookshop in Flatbush, and the mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva in Flatbush was there. So I spoke to him about Musar now, Musar today, Musar amo. And he tells me he was the Edom of Reb Shlomo Volga. He was an Erlanger. Shpocha from these Erlangers. He tells me the Musar movement is bankrupt. So I tell him, "What are you talking about? On the shelf, so many Musar Svarim coming out every day, and more and more and more." He says, "Yeah, it's Svarim. It's something people learn. But people who lived it, it's no longer there. There were people who lived a different reality. This is one of the things that are lost. That are lost, people who lived a ruchnistic life with total dedication, to the exclusion of anything else, they laughed and scoffed at our petty concerns. You know, when your floor gets a scratch in your living room and you're worried and you're upset and you're thinking how you're going to fix it, they looked at you like you look at a monkey climbing a tree. What are you, crazy? That's what life is. It was a life that was focused, but there were different drachim. And the derech of Musar was to deal with these symptoms one at a time until a person becomes a refined person. The derech of Baal Shem Tov is that there's the root of it all. The root of everything. The root of everything is this one word over here, this yeshus. The Baal Shem Tov wanted there should be dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you measure dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you measure how dovuk you are in a Kaddish Baruch Hu? How could you measure? What would you say? How much chayis you have in davening? How much you feel chayis for a mitzvah? That could be a way of measuring. But what would you say is the one factor that determines the level of a person's dveikus ba'asher? Okay. There are various different effects which would naturally follow. But this notion, this yeshus, if you're obsessed with yourself, if your world surrounds around yourself, that yeshus is an obstacle, is a blockage to connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who is, the more dovuk you are by Hashem, the less obsessed you are with you. And if there's less you, then there's less gaiva, then there's less kas, then there's less kino, then there's less sino. All of those things go because it's not about me. You are able to look at yourself in the mirror and laugh at yourself. And see yourself as a petty little nothing, which has the schus to have a neshama that's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the neshama's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's real, and everything else is separate, it's nonsense. It's temporary, goes. So to be able to rid oneself of yeshus is to increase one's dveikus b'Hashem. And the more dveikus there is b'Hashem, the more you get rid of that which ain't any v'yechaylim l'adu b'mader echot. Because it's a blockage. Because Hashem means Einoid Movado. Hashem is your competition. The more Hashem's reality pervades your awareness, your consciousness, the less you are hooked up with yourself. So Zokte Siasetzen Rebbe over here, Deish Kodesh, he says, Be'itzef Teil Dibonim. Leida represents going to a higher level, bringing a new Darge into the world. Be'itzef, what in after the Chetei Tzadas, if a person wants to be elevated, they have to rid themselves of their current perception, of their current reality. They have to get rid of this yeshus. That's the breaking of that yeshus is what is what allows for leida, what allows for a new madrega to be achieved. Let's see this inside. You need to get rid of your current comfort zone. Your current experience, which is what you, the way you define yourself, has to be broken in order for an entirely new level to come into existence. This is true on all levels, and it's manifest even in the Gashmis Olam when a woman wants to give birth. Because you're being mamshich a new oyer. In order to be mamshich this new life into the world, there has to be that pain. At that moment when the woman is in pain, there is no yeshus. There is no me. Because everything is being shattered. All there is pain. And that breaks the eye and allows for a new amshacha to come into the world. This is true in the Gashmis, the process of birth, because it's true on all levels. And Gashmis reflects the way it's in Ruchmis. So he says, I see we're running out of time, so I'll maybe say it orally without seeing it inside. He says the following. Klal Yisrael are here to be Mamshich Kedusha into the world the way it was before Chetei Tzadas. That is the objective. That is what we're here for. We want to bring the world back. The Yemois HaMashiach is going to be Isgalus, that is going to be the way reality was before Chetei Tzadas, where it will be manifest, it will be revealed that Ein Oid Movadoi. That's going to be the reality of the universe at that point. In order to get there, there has to be this process of Chevlei Leida. Chevlei Leida means the pains, the pangs of birth. And this is what Ulo said. This is what Ulo said when he said, Yesei V'lo Yachmine. These are not two separate statements. Yesei V'lo Yachmine means, Mashiach should come, of course. I am prepared to die in that process. The I should go. Means that I'm willing to give up everything that I've acquired for myself now, so that I should be open to that higher madrega, to that higher madrega. In order to be open to the higher madrega, you have to be willing to let go and to go beyond your current situation. And he says, this is pshat in the pasuk in this week's Parsha Rabbeisai. Moitza Ehem al Pi Hashem, the word Moitza Ehem means that Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. The Moitza, that which comes forth, al Pi Hashem, the Pi is the Megala, al Pi Hashem, Moitza Ehem is that Gilui. Masa Ehem is the pain and the sorrow, which is an unfortunate necessity to bring that about. So he says the following. If you ask a woman, Rabbi Yisai, when she's giving birth, you ask a woman when she's giving birth, What's going on right now? What is going on right now at this very moment? What would she say? First of all, she'll say, shut up, don't philosophize with me now, I'm in pain. You know, you don't want to talk to someone who's in pain, you want to comfort them. But what would she say? She would say, I'm in pain. That's what's going on right now. You ask her 5 years later, tell me, 5 years ago, on this day, at this hour, what happened? What would she say? That's the moment our child, Yankel, was born. That's when Yaakov was the most delightful moment of my life. That's when I gave birth. It's a tremendous experience. It's when I brought a new life into the world, something nobody in this room could ever do. That's something, a tremendous, unbelievable moment. So which one is it true? Was it the moment of tremendous pain or the moment of tremendous revelation? Which one is true? So it depends if you're looking in the moment or you're looking back once you've seen the results and the effects of it. Moshe Rabbeinu vayichtoiv Moshe. Moshe was talking backwards. Moshe was speaking in retrospect. What happened in the Midbar? Stam HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking people from one place to another. This was a process of bringing Gilui Shechina into the world. This was a process of preparing for the Knesset Eretz Yisrael and so on and so forth. This was Moitza Ayan. That's what defined it. It was Moitza Ayan. It so happens that the unfortunate way of achieving that was through Masa Ayan. So Vayichtev Moshe Moitza Ayan Masa Ayan. But when the Pasuk is describing what actually happened, Eile Masa Ehem, Le Moitza Ehem. When they were going through it, for them at that moment, it was Masa Ehem. Why are we being schlepped from here to here, back and forth? We could have been sitting Betach Baratzein, we could have been, everything could have been post this whole period, this whole process. So in the moment, it was Masa Ehem. But in retrospect, it was Moitza Ehem. Moitza Eyam al Pi Hashem was the Heicha Timsa, was a means of bringing forth the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. So this is the Asatzen Rebbe speaking to a Tzibur who had lost everything and who knew where they're heading. Who knew where they're heading and knew what's coming. Right? And when everything goes and you think to yourself, this is the worst moment of my life, and in the moment it is. And nobody should be telling you otherwise. They should be empathizing with you in the moment. But it's not an untruth, and it's a certainty that there is a later moment. And in that later moment, this is the greatest gilui that happened in your life. This is the reality, that your comfort zone, everything shattered. The person has a business that goes, or family crises, or a kehila that's in crisis, or a tzibur. Klal Yisrael is going through so many things, so many terrible things. There's a clear pattern of instability. There's an instability. Everything is shaking. Everything is shaking. The comfort that we thought we had 10 years ago is up. It's up for question. But it's important to understand that at a later stage, this is the means. These are the chavolim. These are the chevle later. That's what chavolim are. Chavolim are a dual process. In the moment, they're terrible experiences. But after the moment, they are the greatest opportunities. The greatest opportunity. That's when the windows open in ways that never have. That's the truth. And to live that, of course, is very, very difficult. But often we see it in our own lives. When you look back, you see that it was that moment when everything broke that allowed me to discover a different part of myself. I became a better person. I became less of a Balgaiva. You know, when I went bankrupt the first time and I lost $180 million, right? I became a better person. It hasn't happened yet. But if it would have happened, and I was looking back 10 years, I would hope that I would be able to say that it did something to me. It took away that klipo. It took away that yeshus. Exactly that. And when that yeshus breaks, it's an opportunity to be embraced. Don't run away from it. Find the... Where's the Gilui Oyer over here? Where is the Gilui Oyer over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me a maton over here, and it's a question of uncovering it. Okay.